The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are high atop the Tower of Hope at beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, am I excited. I am so excited because I have someone who I look up to. I can't even begin to tell you what he means to me as a person, because he is on fire with Jesus. And that's the name of our show, to be on fire with Jesus. He's a veteran. He's an evangelist. He is a man of God with a beautiful family and beautiful children, but he is someone that lives his faith in such a big way, and this is Manny Montanez. Welcome to the show, Manny.
Thank you, Deacon Steve.
It is so great to have you here, and we wanted to have Manny on the show because of his deep devotion to Jesus, to the Blessed Mother, to Divine Mercy, to all kinds of things in living out our Catholic faith. But the other thing is we are so indebted to you, we being citizens of the United States, because he is a veteran that was wounded in combat, and he is helping veterans with a 501c3 organization. And what's the name of that organization?
The name of it is the Fruitful Futures Project.
And this is just a fantastic thing. And what is that program?
The program, Fruitful Futures Project, was initially started by my sister, who recently retired from Orangewood Children's Foundation. And we believe that there's more that we can do. We're very small, but every little thing that one can do for not just homeless veterans, but those in need really touched our hearts. And it really started years ago working the homeless shelter with our dear friend Ralph Linsmeyer and the Knights of Malta. And I wore my military cap, and I could not believe how many people came up and said, "Oh, I'm a veteran," and it just touched my heart, left a residual impact on me that fast forward a few years later, my sister and I conceived this idea to do little things. She learned a lot through Orangewood, and we were able to put together what's called survival backpacks that are filled with bare necessities, essentials that will get someone in need through the night. We can't always give them a roof over their head, a warm bed, a hot shower, a hot meal, but we can do little things that can hopefully provide an inspiration, give them some hope, get them through the night and into the next day. So,
amen, and thank you so much for doing that. And just a thank you to all the veterans out there that have sacrificed so much for all of us. And many of us take these things that for granted at times, but the reality is that we are indebted to all those who have served our country.
Thank you, Deacon. It's fruitfulfuturesproject.org, and you can Google them and find out a little bit.
Good, more. And I'm sure they can donate if they're so inclined, right?
Every little bit helps.
Yeah, awesome. You are a man of prayer, and prayer is a foundation for holiness. It's a foundation for communication. you're part of Legatus. You lead the rosary often at our Legatus meetings. And you learned that from a very young age. Tell us about where you grew up and born and a little bit about your background.
Sure. I'm the oldest of seven kids, and my grandparents, both on my mother and my father's side, while my mother and father had not been married at the time, my grandparents on my mother's side were part of the Bracero program, which was a program instituted to import cheap Mexican and Chinese laborers to build the railroads years ago. And my grandparents, very communal type living, as they were part of a group that were brought across the border to work on the railroads, would stay in encampments, and a lot of prayer time that they shared, and which naturally led into the family type structure when my mother and my father met, married, and had me. But prayer was always a special time. They gave so much thanks for just the little things, just the ability to make a warm meal, whether it be beans, rice, tortillas, salsa. And I saw that early on, and it is carried through to these years now. I was born in Billings, Montana, because my grandparents, while they were working in Texas, received a promotion on my mother's side to move to Montana to work at the Great Northern Pacific Railroad. So consequently, they were transferred, but they said, we can't go because our paperwork isn't finalized for citizenship. So I owe an awful lot of thanks to the Union Pacific, because they were very instrumental in supporting my grandparents' paperwork, and they received their citizenship papers and moved to Montana, and that's where I was born, in Billings, Montana.
Your grandparents meant a lot to you and really helped develop your faith. Is that correct?
That's true, yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, both of my grandparents on my mother and father's side were both very, very strong Catholics coming from Mexico. And they didn't know a lot of people. So naturally, when you're together, the aunts will get together and grab you by the ear and say, get over here. We're going to pray the rosary. And a lot of times prayed in Spanish, but, you know, my aunts would pray it in English, and very much a devoted time. There were no interruptions with handheld devices or the radio, usually small homes, but very, very close. A lot of warmth, just a lot of spiritual warmth and belief and satisfaction that where two or more gathered, there the Lord is with us.
And so you had this foundation, devotion to the Blessed Mother, foundation of faith, going to church. Where did you go to school?
Went to school. My first grade was at St. Teresa, the Little Flower in Billings, Montana. And then my father and mother moved to Nebraska. And then I went to St. Agnes. But I was educated by the nuns. And they were very, very much a big part of my life, because they knew that I came from a family that was closely knit. The fabric, faith was very evident in our prayers. I learned the morning offering at a very, very young age and pretty much started my day that way. But the nuns, I would say, especially one, was very, very instrumental in shaping and forming my spiritual life. And her name was Sister Mary Rose. And I asked her one day, I believe it was the sixth grade at St. Agnes School in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. I said, Sister, what's all this about going to Mass on first Fridays of the month and praying the rosary? And as only a Dominican can do, she grabbed me by the ear and she said, come here, my darling honey bunch stinkweeds. Those were one of her favorite words that she called me. She says, come here, my little darling honey bunch stinkweeds. And she said, you will never die without a priest around to administer your last rites. Well, it just so happened that must have resonated and backed up in the back of my mind, because the day I was wounded on January 8th, 1969, my scapular was in my wallet. We were in a firefight in South Vietnam along the Cambodian border, and I had my rosary. And I don't know where it came from, but just simultaneously, I shot it out. I was bleeding both legs very badly, had tourniquets on both legs and morphine in each hip, and you should only have one, but I did two morphine antrepets, and nothing took the pain away. And I think I yelled at the top of my lungs. I said, "Lord, Sister Rose promised me I would not die without a priest around to administer my last rites." And there were no chaplains, obviously, on the battlefield that day. And simultaneously, a few maybe seconds, it seemed like hours, I was pulled back, dragged, and one of my GI platoon members said, "Watch it, Sergeant's right leg is falling off." That's how bad it was mangled. And so the rest is history.
And what has that taught you, that experience? What did it teach you?
It taught me that the words are so powerful. If you stop and you contemplate the passion of our Lord, the scourging at the pillar, but even more importantly, the pain, carrying that cross up that hill, and then the crucifixion, the pain that our Lord must have endured for us. And obviously, the pain was insurmountable. I can't describe it because I was almost going into shock, losing so much blood and passing out. And I thought if I passed out, I'm going to go from wounded in action to killed in action. And my family, just visions of my mother, my father, my little sister and brothers just passed in front of me.
Well, you have a great, great passion for the Lord, but also a great passion for veterans and what they've gone through. And and so you've spent a lot of your life trying to help them.
Yes, I have. And I think it started with the experience in grade school at St. Agnes School. My mom was a nurse, so we were subjected to health care at a very, very young age. My little sister, Lori, in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, is a registered nurse as well, but I remember my mom coming home. She was asked to work hospice, and back then, hospice wasn't as advanced as it is today, and the nurses would get psychological counseling to deal with terminally ill patients. But my mom came home one night, and we were talking at dinner, and she said, "You know, we need people to spend the night with some of our hospice patients, just to give them water, give them a bedpan." And I was in the eighth grade, and she said, "Plus, we can use it to help defray tuition." So I and my brother under me, we would go to St. Mary's terminally ill facility right next door to St. Mary's Hospital in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And I remember the patients' names that I would sit with, Mr. Thompson and Mr. Wilson. And basically, I'd take my homework. I would, in the middle of the night, they'd say, "Manny, I need a bedpan." I'd give him a bedpan and then go back to bed after I had done my homework. My mom would get off of the graveyard shift and take me home to brush my teeth and kind of change and get ready for school and then take me back to school. So the nuns were very much aware of that support. And a lot of those patients some of them were veterans. And I learned and heard an awful lot about what they had endured in their lifetime.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit with Manny Montanez. We're going to be right back to talk more about what does it take to be on fire for Jesus.
Showing for one night only at a theater near you. A story about the devastating consequences of the sexual revolution and one father's quest for answers.
Have you seen the videos and Instagram posts and ads that young women are fed these days? It's craziness.
From writer-director Don Johnson, a new documentary that uncovers the truth about how we got here.
The gist of Cosmo was hard work and sex without the kids will set you free.
Unprotected, featuring stories and insight from some of today's most articulate Catholic thinkers, including Christopher West and Jennifer Fulweiler. Tickets available now at unprotectedmovie.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here on Empowered by the Spirit, and we are with Manny Montanez, who is a veteran, who is someone who is totally on fire for Jesus. And being on fire with Jesus You know, it's not necessarily you're born and all of a sudden you're totally on fire. Most of us go through a great journey. And when we talk about faith, faith is a journey. But we must understand Hebrews 11:6 that says it's impossible to please God without faith, but he will reward those who believe he exists. But what is faith? Faith is basically not knowing what is going to happen, but trusting in Jesus. Mm-hmm. It is the divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. And the reality is we don't necessarily are born with faith. We have to ask for it. We have to want it. We have to seek it. We take a look again at Matthew 5:6 that says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is God's will, for then they will be filled. Your faith walk, you weren't exactly like all of us, you know, straight up to the heaven, straight up to the top. We have our bumps and we have our bruises. And tell us about your journey.
Well, that journey is very, very obvious from a sinner's point of view, because I, being human, am subject to temptation. My faith journey has been sometimes a roller coaster ride where I have prayed, nothing has happened, but then other times, without me even praying, something good happens, and it kind of brings me back to dead center, and it makes me realize that, boy, just our Lord, just to the powerful, powerful presence of just his name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And just uttering those words, give me strength at times when I'm so weak and just subject to crossing the line that takes me from one spiritual aspect to that of a sinful person. Probably my faith, even more so, it's gone through phases of my life. My time as a youngster growing up with my grandparents and praying in Vietnam, praying. And then coming back, getting married, I literally pushed this lady. Her name's Norma, just a wonderful lady. She finally acquiesced and said, okay, I'll marry you. And we got married, were blessed with two little daughters, and then she divorced me. And she's a wonderful mother, just a wonderful lady. Back then, we didn't know what PTSD was. I hate to even use those letters, but we came back from Vietnam, and they thought we were crazy. And she divorced me because I was so antisocial. I didn't want to do anything. I was feeling what my brothers and sisters who'd served in Vietnam came back and were subjected to. And my faith was put into high gear, although even more so, I was on my knees praying that my wife would not follow through with a divorce. And I would wait for the phone to ring. We didn't have cell phones back then, so the divorce finally became final after a number of months. I was like a yo-yo, like that roller coaster. My faith was up when she'd call and say, I want you back, and we want to try and work on it. And then it was the deep dive when she said, I need more time, and I'd leave the house and praying again. I would see a family together, and it would just break my heart. I would see a man with a wedding ring, and it would just devastate me. And I thought, wow, how lucky. And I thought, how unfortunate I am. Here I am, lonely, did not, as I said, have the devices that distract you. And so I spent an awful lot of time praying, but sometimes I believe that my prayers were just words. I was saying them without really truly standing on those words and what they mean. So my faith was ignited when she called me and said, I want you back. I went back, and then she booted me again, and the divorce became final. My prayers were so non-existent. I stopped believing. I was doing the happy hour in Southeast Denver, if one can imagine, in the late 70s, and just partying up a storm. And it was a very, very fun time from a sinful point of view, but it was very hurtful because I realized now, back then, the phase that I was going through, how much I was disappointing our Lord.
There's a couple of things I really want to interject, if I could, Manny, and thank you for your candor and honesty. Because I think the point that I want to make to our listeners is the fact that there's almost everyone on the face of the earth has gone through this period of dryness, a period of rebellion.
Yes.
But some people don't get out of it. Some people think that, oh, well, I blew my life. I've had people come up to me and say, my life is over because I cheated on my husband, cheated on my wife, whatever it is. But God is merciful. He has his divine mercy. He is there with his arms open wide. And I'm sure that even though you were, quote, having fun from a world standpoint, it didn't fill your soul. There was this hole in the middle of your soul where you knew that you didn't have the peace. Mm-hmm. You didn't feel the love of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, there was the love of the flesh and so forth, but that doesn't last. That is fleeting. And so as you're going through this trial period, and for many of our listeners, they're going through that period now. They're in it now. And the comment that I have for you, and I'd like Manny to comment on this, is that it is not too late for you to say, I repent of my sins, I go to reconciliation, and I'm all yours, Lord, because Jesus wipes away what we've done and makes us whiter than snow.
Absolutely. In fact, probably the thing that really reminds me of how much our Lord loves us is I danced with this one woman after the divorce was final, and she said, you're a good dancer, and can I have your business card? I gave her my business card, and leading a sinful life. A few days later, my secretary says, this man's called 4 times. And back then we didn't have voicemail, but he left a message. It's personal. And so I thought, gee whiz, who could this person be? Well, 4 days later, I go in, grab my coffee and open up the Wall Street Journal, sit down in my office, and the phone rings. Secretary says, Manny, that man that's called 4 times is on the phone. And I said, which line? She said, the one that's blinking. So I remember the phones had little white blinking lights on them. And I picked it up. I said, this is Manny. Can I help you? And he said, well, I hope so. It's rather personal. And I said, well, I'm here. He said, in fact, I'm at a payphone right below your building. And I was wondering if we could get together. And I said, absolutely. But what's this about? He said, well, it's rather difficult, but you're seeing my wife. And I said, oh, my gosh, I get this big lump in my throat. I said, excuse me, I shut my office door so no one would hear me. And I said, excuse me, but I'm divorced and I'm not seeing anybody. I'm not, you know, I said, who's your wife? And he told me. And I said, well, how did you get my name? He said, I found your business card in her purse. And I said, oh, my gosh, she told me she was divorced. And he said, I'm trying to save my marriage and I don't want the divorce. And that was an instantaneous moment where I said, Lord, thank you, because you've shown me what I was like with this man. And I said, obviously, she lied to me. I've only met her once. And I said, do you still want to get together? And he said, no. Well, that opened my eyes, because that gentleman was kind of finding out who was more involved with his wife. And I happened to be a morning call. He found out that I wasn't. And later that day, walked into a man's office and shot him. And I am so thankful, because that could have been me early in the morning. This man not, you know, filtering and finding out more, but he must have believed me. So that really rekindled my faith again. And since then, it was in the late 70s, I've become even more inflamed with my faith.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus never abandons us, but he as a good father wants to give us his teachings. And we see this in Hebrews, where it says, what father would abandon their children? Would they not discipline their children? So he disciplines us by allowing these things to happen. You know, we make that decision, but through free will. But then he will show us the error of our ways. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, turn back to him with all of your heart, soul, might, and strength. Go to reconciliation. Go get a counselor and say, look, I have strayed. I've gone down the wrong path. But now I want to come back to you, Lord God. Give me the grace to do that. And when that happens, everything changes. And that's what you did.
Exactly. In fact, the
Sacrament of Reconciliation Confession is so powerful because, as I recall, at a young age, 20, in Okinawa, reading the Bible, one of the psalms that just resonates so sound and deep in my heart is Psalm 118, verse 17 and 18, and goes like this: "You shall not die, but live to declare the deeds of the Lord. The Lord chastised me harshly, but did not hand me over to death. I truly believe, and probably believe it even more so as the older I've gotten, how many times I've probably cheated death. But there are so many powerful moments in my life that are witness to that faith and being on fire and thanking him for making me realize just how sinful I've been."
My brothers and sisters, many of you are condemning yourself for things that you've done. Take a look at Romans chapter 8. It says there's no condemnation in those that love Christ Jesus in Romans 8:1. Do not condemn yourself. Jesus died on the cross and rose again for you to have eternal life. But he wants you to say yes to him, to open up your heart. And he says later in the 8th chapter of Romans that nothing will separate you from his love. Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor past things, nor future things. Nothing will separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. And when we experience that love, everything changes.
It does. Deacon, that was probably in the late 70s, but fast forward now, I served on the board of directors at Children's Hospital of Orange County, and I was chairing a board meeting at Chocolate Mission, and Dr. Adamany came in and said, "Can I have a couple minutes to talk to your board?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" Well, he introduced, he said, this was in 2002, they came up with a new procedure called a virtual colonoscopy, and he said, "I need some guinea pigs." So I reluctantly volunteered, and my blood work was perfect. I had no symptoms. I had not even had a regular colonoscopy, and I said, "No, I'm going to just hold off." And he said, "Come on, Manny." Well, I ended up having the virtual, and long and short of that experience was they found a tumor fully encapsulated in my right kidney, and he said, "You better go see your urologist." And I said, "Well, I don't even have one yet." So I said, "Can you refer me to one?" And I said, "He's got to be Catholic." Lo and behold, he sends me to Dr. James Maglia, and I'm being led to believe that that little spot on my right kidney is a cyst. That's what the doctors, Dr. Adamany and his staff thought. Well, it ended up being a tumor. Dr. Maglia said, "This is not a cyst. It's a tumor, and 99.9% are cancerous." He said, "We need to get in there."
So we're going to interrupt just for a quick second. We're going to be right back to talk more about what happened and how living a life of faith and prayer makes a difference. Deacon Steve Greco, you are on Empowered by the Spirit.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child, and Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back on Empowered by the Spirit with Manny Montanez, who is on fire for Jesus. He is a veteran. He is a man of God. He is an entrepreneur and businessman who has done incredible things for the Lord. being on the board of Children's Hospital of Orange County, on the board of Legatus and Knights of Malta, heavily involved in so many different things, being involved with major projects for the veterans, Fruitful Futures Project. And he's just someone who is an inspiration to me personally. But like all of us, we go on these journeys and we have challenges. And we have challenges of faith. We have challenges in which we're tested in terms of, to what extent do we believe, to what extent do we trust in Jesus? You were just saying before the break that you were diagnosed with a tumor in your kidney. And obviously that is a moment of trial. What happened from there?
Well, I was led to believe that Dr. Anthony Stauffer said, Manny, more than likely it's a cyst. I would not worry about it. Well, I went home. I talked to my wife, and because I told the doctor, I said, Doc, I'm hearing every other word, and I need to bring my wife in. Well, in talking to Dr. Magley, he said, Manny, this is not a cyst. It's a tumor. We need to get in there. And I said, okay, next week. He said, no, this is not an outpatient procedure. This is serious surgery. It's the right kidney where most of your intestines are, on the right side. Well, I said, Doc, would you be offended if I got a second opinion? And he said, of course not. So I went home. I thought about it. Again, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, show me some direction here, Lord. And I told my wife, I feel very good with Dr. Maglia. So I called him up, follow-up appointment. I said, Dr. Maglia, I've decided against getting a second opinion. I trust you. And I said, but how about a biopsy? He said, Manny, I do not like to do biopsies. And he just said that very, very firmly. And I said, okay, we did not do a biopsy. We had the surgery. It turned out the tumor was not quite the size of a golf ball, and it was fully encapsulated. Had he done a biopsy, he would have punctured the outer layer of the kidney, and it could have started metastasizing from that moment on. But he took snippets from around my kidney. I've had one kidney since 2002, and so I have to be very, very careful with medications, what I eat, digest, etc. But more importantly, the tumor ended up being a slow-growth, non-aggressive form of cancer, and it was like a ticking time bomb. Who knows how long it would have been, but
but God loves you so much that he allowed you to take this test, right?
Yes.
To discover it, which is incredible. I want to switch a little bit over to prayer, because you are such a man of prayer, and you're so devoted to the Blessed Mother, but so many forms of prayer. Tell us about your prayer life and how that has changed your faith walk.
Okay. My faith walk is so important to me now, because every morning, the minute after my Vietnam experience, the minute my feet hit the floor, I say, thank you, Lord, because I go to the VA hospital in Long Beach and I see these veterans with prosthesis, and I'm so close. I came so close to being just like them. So every morning, the minute my feet hit the floor in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord. I go and I stand in the window and I say, Father, may I never forget your many blessings. Come, Lord, and fill my heart with praise and gratitude. So that's generally how I start my day.
And you have a prayer, too, that you start with, correct?
I do.
And would you recite that prayer for a listening audience and maybe how they would find it?
I do. I do the morning offering. Everybody probably knows the morning offering, but I've got a miracle prayer. It's called, goes like this. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. In your name, I forgive all others for what they have done against me. I renounce Satan, the evil spirits, and all their works. I give you my entire self. Lord Jesus, now and forever, I invite you into my life, Jesus. I accept you as my Lord, God, and Savior. Heal me, change me, strengthen me in body, soul, and spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, and cover my wonderful wife, Lynn, our wonderful children, Lance and Matt, our wonderful daughters, Sarah, Nicole, Deacon, Marianne Greco, Mike, Jim, everyone. For everyone, Lord, that you put in my life, people that I've known for years, someone that I've just known casually, but everyone that the Lord puts into your life is a blessing. So I ask that the blood of Jesus cover everyone, Lord, that you blessed me to know, come across, encounter, and forgive all those that have hurt me. I pray for everyone, and then turn, ask for those prayers to come back. In Jesus' name, I pray.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah! Hallelujah! You are so powerful as a prayer warrior, my friend. And your prayer is something that happens throughout the day. You have this morning prayer. But tell us about how your day of prayer goes.
My day of prayer goes, I do not look at my handheld device. I've got emails, some texts. Now, if my wife or family are traveling and I'm expecting a text that they arrive safely, I monitor that. But my day starts, I do multiple rosaries throughout the day. I do not listen to the radio. I go home at night and I'll watch the news to get caught up. But for example, today was the Glorious Mysteries. But before I say my glorious, I always think of the rosary before. For yesterday was the Sorrowful Mysteries. So Monday, the Joyful. And I do the rosary of the previous day to remind me of how powerful, for example, today, the Glorious Mysteries. I'm reminded of the passion of our Lord, which impacts me more greatly when I pray the Glorious Mysteries. The Luminous Mysteries throughout the day help and inspire me and keep me focused.
That's so awesome. And so you're praying throughout the day, and you're ever mindful that God is with you, that Jesus is with you, traveling with you, in your meetings, in your phone conversations, in your discussions with other people, because prayer is about communication.
It is. It is. I'm even reminded that I even thank the Lord for the red light that I caught. If I try to turn a corner or cut a corner, I'm reminded that maybe there's a reason for. See, the Lord's got our lives so planned out. I mean, He knew us when He formed us in our mother's womb, and that resonates so powerful, because I just offer up the day to the Lord and just trust that He's got it all laid out for me. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink.
And we're here for a purpose. We're here to make a difference in each other's lives. And you have done that in such a powerful way. I mean, you've talked about Children's Hospital of Orange County. You've talked about veterans. But you've also done some amazing work with Boy Scouts. Tell us about that.
I have. Being a Boy Scout at a young age left a very, very deep impression in my life growing up in Nebraska, because there are two words in the Boy Scouts that are so powerful. It's God and country. And I think the Boy Scouts have been instrumental, and I've been involved in an event called the Search for Men of Character, and we're coming up on our 20th year. The founder of that organization is Ralph Linsmeyer, an Eagle Scout. It's important to note that all three of his sons are Eagle Scouts, so we strongly and firmly believe in what scouting teaches, and it's so desperately needed because it's God and country, and we put God first because God is the basis for all that we do. We're thankful for everything that He gives us, and scouting has allowed me to give back in the formulation of those two words, God and country, to a lot of the young men that are growing up.
And this particular event is fantastic. Could you tell us more on how they can find out more about it?
Sure. It's called the Men of Character, and our 20th Men of Character Recognition Dinner. We honor 7 to 8 men in Orange County that exemplify character. They don't have to be Boy Scouts. They can be lay people. We've honored bishops. We've honored Deacon Steve Greco was
Whoa!
One of our honorees.
And I'm so honored by that, by the way.
And these individuals are so important and have been so instrumental in shaping the lives of so many people, young men. And we fill the ballroom April of 2019. It'll be at the Irvine Hotel, Hotel Irvine. In the past, it started 20 years ago at the Dove Canyon Country Club, where we had a few hundred people. We outgrew that the first year and ended up at the Ritz-Carlton, where we filled that ballroom, 600-700 people. And we average about 500 to 600 people. It's a recognition dinner where we come and recognize the individuals that are being recognized and honored. And all the proceeds benefit the Orange County Council, the Boy Scouts, to help their programs make these young men more mature and make them inspirational leaders.
If there's one thing that we know, as you know, we're both about the same age, is that life is fleeting and we have to take advantage of every second. It says in the book of James that we are a vapor that appears briefly and disappears. So every day is a special day of miracles, a special day that we can use the gifts that God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at Matthew 25 and the parable of the talents. Are we burying our talents? Are we using it and multiplying it? Mm-hmm. You, my friend, multiply your talents in whatever you do. Would be working with the Boy Scouts, the Children's Hospital, working with various things. Tell our listening audience, why is it so important to use the gifts that God has given us?
Boy, I think it's magnified even more so when you see someone like a homeless person on the street. We've heard recent gospels, feed and clothe our brethren. Well, when did I feed you? When did I clothe you, Lord? And I think our faith is even more inspired when we see these people in need, and people with you will say, why are you doing that? That person's probably going to go out and buy drugs if you give them money. And to me, it's not me being judgmental into how he should. It's not a true gift, I say, if you give it conditionally. So you give with your heart, with your love. And I think that's what is so powerful in when we read scripture passages of how our Lord sat with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. And my faith is even more on fire when I see someone in need, because the Lord has definitely blessed me to be able to give to others.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back with Manny Montanez to talk more about what does it mean to be on fire for Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Father Quan Tran, parochial vicar for Christ Cathedral Parish, and today we continue with holiness. St. John tells us that God is love, and so Jesus himself has revealed this love to us by his passion and death, and he commands us, love one another as I have loved you. So he gives us an image, a model for what love looks like. So to love is to sacrifice oneself for the good of the other, and so if we are to truly love like Jesus, we are to sacrifice ourselves for the glory of God and the salvation of others. And so Mother Teresa tells us we don't have to do great things, do big things, just do little things with great love. And we do it with joy. We love our neighbor because out of our love for God. And God loves a cheerful giver. So we do everything with joy for the glory of God and the salvation of others.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Manny Montanez. We're focusing on what does it take to be on fire for Jesus. Manny is a leader. He's a veteran. He's someone who's been involved in starting organizations and starting for veterans, and also working on a man of character for the Boy Scouts, being involved on the board of Children's Hospital of Orange County, and also Legatus, Knights of Malta. I think I met you through Legatus, you know, and Legatus, tell our listeners what Legatus is.
Well, Legatus is, first of all, the word Legatus is in Latin, it's called ambassador, and it's an organization, an international organization of business owners, CEOs. The organization was started by Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza. And it's basically an organization of Catholic couples. It's, to me, it's the best once a night date night for my wife and I to share with other like-minded Catholics, in which we have pray the rosary, we have a mass, we have our own chaplain, Father Patrick Moses, here in Orange County.
Who is awesome.
He is awesome. And we have a social time, wine, drinks. We have a sit down dinner, and then we have a guest speaker that's usually centered around the different topics, issues that are facing each of us as human beings. A lot of Catholic type inspired speakers. It's a powerful organization.
And you were at one point, you were the president of that, of the chapter of the Orange Coast chapter. And I was, I think I was on the board while you were president, and you made such a big difference. I mean, all the people who lead it do wonderful work, but yours was different. And I think when you were ahead, you really focused on the spiritual side even more than most do. You know, it's kind of a business organization, spiritual business organization, but you wanted to make sure the spirit is there. And you led to saying the rosary, right, before we started.
Exactly, yes. In fact, speaking of Legatus, the year I was president, it's a couples, because my wife, I could have never done it without my wife, Lynn. But more importantly, I came on the Orange Coast chapter. There are four chapters of Legatus in Orange County. Orange County is the first one. Orange Coast, which is mine and yours, is the second chapter. There's one in Orange Canyons called that's the out in Coto. Then we have one in San Juan Capistrano. But I remember clearly the speakers are so important, because I think the speakers is what reminds us of what our duty is as servants of the Lord. And I met a gentleman years ago through riding motorcycles. His name's Jim Brenner. He said, "Manny," he said, "I'd like to, if you can help me, I need to collect blankets. My mom's got a drive for blankets and those in need." And I said, "Okay." And I said, I asked a few more questions. I said, "Where's your mom?" And he said, "Well, she's a nun." And it stopped me in my tracks. And I said, "Whoa, Jim Brenner, your mom's a nun. Tell me a little more." Well, his father passed away. Mother Antonia Brenner's husband passed away, and she gave everything away and decided to start a ministry called Servants of the 11th Hour. And I called Jim Brenner. I said, "Okay, Jim, it's your turn to give back to me. I want to get a hold of your mother. I want to have her come and speak." And she spoke at our Legatus event one evening, and the evening was held, I remember vividly, at the Strawberry Farms. And we sat down for dinner, and we always serve our guest speaker first. And I said, "Mother, please, you and your assistant go and grab dinner." And she said, "No, I just want a piece of bread and something else." And it just humbled me so much to see that here we had a lavish dinner laid out, and she was living with the poor down in the prison.
Amazing. I'll never forget it. The impact, it was like having Mother Teresa, right? St. Mother Teresa there.
Yes, yes.
You know, her impact was just amazing. But you had those kind of speakers, which I think is so important. Speakers that really inspire us to change our lives and to follow Jesus.
One of the speakers also was Carly Fiorina. It was the year that she was running for the Senate. And it was on pro-life issues. And I'll never forget calling Carly Fiorina, and she did come to speak to us, and I invited the other chapters in Orange County, and we filled the house there at the Pacific Club, and she did not utter one word of politics, and I got so much, oh gosh.
Feedback.
Thank you for putting that word mildly. Feedback, because they said, "Well, why aren't you inviting other non-conservative speakers?" And I said, "Because this is not a political forum." I said, "She's speaking on the sanctity of life," because her husband's mother was told to abort him, and Carly Fiorina's husband's mother made the decision not to abort, and consequently she was speaking about the sanctity of life.
You have lived a life of faith, a life of saying yes to Jesus. Why is it so important to say yes to Jesus?
Well, I think that if you say no to Jesus, you just as well block yourself out and just exclude yourself and become nothing more than a mere object. And there's something within us that heartbeat. For example, divine mercy. "Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your Son, Jesus Christ." I mean, he gave himself for us. and we're created in his image. And when he talked to the fisherman, Peter said, come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I mean, that's our job. That's our duty. That goes above and beyond what we do in business, what we do in home life. Everything's got to be centered in our faith, because our faith is the instrument that drives us, that guides us, that inspires us, that tells us what's right and what's wrong.
You have been very successful in business. Tell us about your business background.
I went to school at the University of Denver. I retired from MetLife Capital, the equipment and aircraft financing and leasing division of Metropolitan Life Insurance. So I've had business banking and corporate finance in my DNA. And currently I'm vice president new business development for Home Street Bank, a bank headquartered out of Seattle that acquired Orange County Business Bank. And I'm here in the Irvine office.
Awesome.
And, I just love relationships.
And you've had your own company in the past.
I have.
And what was that?
I still do. It's called E.G. Montanez Construction, and primarily it's a disabled veteran business organization that partners with bigger, larger general contractors and owners on projects where they need a disabled veteran business partner.
And so if, as we have veterans, I'm sure, listening in, how could they contact you?
They can contact me. They can look up egmontanezconstruction.com. They can look up Manny Montanez on Facebook.
And how do you spell Montanez?
It's M-O-N-T-A-N-E-Z. It's Manny, M-A-N-N-Y. And I try to share my faith openly, even with those that are non-believers. Recently had a friend, a very, very dear friend, whose brother was in the hospital, had an intestinal blockage. And his sister said, Manny, but my brother's an atheist. And I said, well, I'm going to go see him anyway. So I went to see him. His first name's Mike. And Colleen is his sister. And I said, the second day that I saw him, they were going to make a decision at 3 that afternoon that if that blockage was not cleared, I was not passing gas, they were going to do surgery. Well, they ended up not having to do surgery, but before I left the second day, just before lunch, his sister was with him. I said, Mike, can we pray together? He said, no. He said, I really prefer not. I said, come on. So we said a prayer, and he called me later that day, said, Manny, guess what? They decided against surgery because I'm starting to get flowing through that intestine.
So, praise God. Hallelujah.
So, yeah.
And we live a life of miracles when we say yes to Jesus, when we trust in him.
Yes.
You know, we see in the 11th chapter of Mark, when we pray and believe in what we ask for, God will grant it. And we see in 1 John, according to his perfect will. Manny, you have lived a life of faith, and you are an inspiration to so many. What's the message they have to our audience who maybe they don't feel like, maybe they've lived out a life of faith in the way they've wanted to? What would be your message to them?
My message to them is never give up. Close your eyes. Contemplate for a moment. Stop and think for a moment why you're standing where you are, where you're at, whether personally, professionally, spiritually, and put spiritually first. And give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And don't ever have any doubts. We all have our crosses. Even those that you think are not carrying heavy burdens, believe me, everyone has a burden of some kind. But if you give and hand that burden over to the Lord, say, Lord, help me. It just takes but a moment for you to close your eyes and say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me.
And Jesus will never disappoint. And it's so important that we understand that. He has his divine mercy. And I want to just share with everybody that Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry, which is our ministry, has a program, a Divine Mercy Conference on Saturday, April 13th, and is from 9:30 to 4:30 at Santiago de Compostela Parish Hall in Lake Forest, California. You can get more information by contacting us at Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at Spirit-Filled Hearts. It's all one word, spiritfilledhearts.org. Or call us at 949-514-5028. That's 949-514-5028. We have a group of speakers. Donna Lee is doing the music. It is going to be absolutely fantastic. And if you're not familiar with the Divine Mercy Chaplet or the Power of Divine Mercy, please attend that conference. Manny, it's been great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Deacon Steve.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you and worship you and glorify you. We thank you for your many miracles. Teach us how to be on fire with the Lord. You told us that you've come to set the earth on fire. May we be part of that fire. Fill us with every spiritual blessing and heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother in Jesus' name. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. You've been on Powered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth. That he gave, he's the one and only son, that whoever believes.
leaving Earth. Basic instructions, leaving Earth.